Did you know that the perfect snack exists that not only has the yum factor, because that's important, but also packs a real protein punch? I'm talking about Wonderful Pistachios, a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids. Wonderful Pistachios is one of the highest protein nuts. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Now that's a snack you can feel really good about. It's hard for me to currently pick a fave because they have several flavors to choose from, including no salt and jalapeno lime options. But if I absolutely had to, I'd say I'm in my no shells, Wonderful Pistachios, sea salt and vinegar era. It's the ultimate snacking solution for when you need a quick, convenient, and tasty boost of pistachio goodness straight out of the bag. Whether you enjoy the ritual of cracking open each nut or you lean towards the ease of no shells, Wonderful Pistachios has something for everyone. It's time to elevate your snacking game with Wonderful Pistachios. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more. Hey, what's going on? You are listening to the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. My name is Bree. I'm the host of the show, as well as the founder of Brown Girl Self-Care. Brown Girl Self-Care is a platform and space of intentional healing, joy, rest, and abundance for Black women. I want to go ahead and just jump right into today's topic, which I'm just going to say this is a real talk conversation. And I'm going to also give a trigger warning because I will at some point talk about abuse, things that happened in my life and stuff like that. The topic is you're not going to be free until you seek freedom, right? And I'm talking about freedom to be yourself, freedom to live your best life, freedom to love yourself, freedom to be who you are, freedom to relearn yourself, freedom to just exist and be happy, like that kind of freedom, right? I want to continue to bring you along in my healing journey. And a big part of my healing journey includes healing from my childhood trauma. And my childhood trauma, everyone is affected by childhood trauma differently. And I want to also say really quick that I'm not a therapist. I'm just sharing with you how I'm healing, how I'm blooming, my thoughts, my things, the steps I'm taking, the things I've gone through. I'm going to talk about just my liberation and freedom journey, specifically, as it pertains to my upbringing. Okay, so where to even start? First of all, I just want to say that life is just too short to be miserable. Life is way too short to live a miserable, unhappy, unwell, unhealthy, unloved life. It's just too short for that. The older I get, the more I realize that I unintentionally wasted a lot of time being afraid of what people would think about me, including my mother, my partners, you know, things like that. Like just being afraid to be myself, being afraid to share my real self, share my thoughts, show this version of me, right? Because a lot of times it was either shot down or it was ridiculed or it was mocked or wasn't taken seriously, you know, different things like that. And so for a very long time, I feel like I lived a very sheltered life, and I'm still a very sheltered person in some regards, because that's just how I was raised. A lot of things were wrong. A lot of things were, as in, let me clarify that. A lot of things were wrong, as in a good girl or a good Christian girl should not do ... or should not be interested in ... That is what I meant by that. A lot of things were not good. This whole thing about Christianity, specifically white, like this is white Christianity that we are, well, how about I'll say I was raised up in, just that standard of being under the white gaze. I went to an a Christian school. Obviously that was white. There were Black kids. There were a lot of Black kids actually, but it was under it was under white leadership. And like everything that I have done or did in my past, like in my life, was just very much in one way, shape or another. Even my punishment, like getting my ass beat. There's going to be a lot of cussing in this episode too. That's just how I talk. I'm not going to apologize for it. Like, so including getting my ass beat, like that also was just like a very white centered thing. You think about it. Obviously in slavery, we were being beat, brutalized, ridiculed, mocked, forced to labor, you know, beaten, violated, assaulted, like that. You can't tell me that there aren't remnants in that when we, generally speaking, are rearing our children, especially when we are doing it in a violent way. The whole spare the rod, spoil the child, which doesn't even mean in the Bible to beat your children, by the way. Yeah, that's not what that means. Yeah, just growing up in this very, obviously in a Black family, but a white, like, keep in mind, I was raised in the, like, I was born in the mid to late 70s. I was a product of the 80s, okay? So some of you, like, depending on how old you are, you may not have quite the same experiences, and I pray that you don't. My prayer is that each generation just gets better and better and better and better, because there's really no need to traumatize your children in the ways that a lot of us that were born around my time, and even after my time, obviously, different things happen, different traumas and stuff like that. But man, when I hear about, like, the stories of people born in the 70s, the 60s, the 50s, the 80s, whatever, and how violence and just treating your children a certain way was just like, that was just acceptable. That was the way. That was the way. That was the way. It was okay. It was justified. That was how it was supposed to be done. You know, and I feel like even more so that Black parents were even praised when they beat their children. Like, that just showed, like, man, you beat your children to keep them in line, and that made you a good parent in the eyes of others and white society, because that meant that you valued their ways of living. And you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to get these thoughts out, y'all, and it's a little hard for me to do. And obviously beating our children, like, especially back then, it was about safety in our eyes. We thought we were doing the right thing. I'm saying we, like I beat myself, but you know what I mean? Like, we thought that we were doing the right things because we wanted to keep our children safe. We wanted to prepare them for the heart. We wanted to prepare them. I'm saying that in air quotes, for the harshness of the world. Like, in other words, I'm going to beat you now so that the world doesn't have to beat you 10 years from now, or 20 years from now. I'm gonna kind of, like, punch you down now, as far as, like, keep your expectations low or whatever. So that way, when you go into the real world, you won't have these grand ideas of, you know what I'm trying to say? You have a more regular idea of what you can become or what you can do in your life. And I'm not saying that all of this applies to my life, but I'm just saying, generally speaking. But this healing journey for me, and I want to encourage you, like, to really get serious about this, because life is short for a lot of us. Even if we live to be 90 or 100 years old, that's still a short amount of time to live if you think about it, in the grand scheme of how long this planet, the solar system, this universe, whatever, and all the universes have been in existence. We just had passings back to back to back of people that were shocking, like Richard Simmons. And I'm naming these people because, again, keep in mind that I am a product of, like, the 70s and 80s. So this was like mainstream for me. So we had Richard Simmons just pass away. Rest in peace. We had Shannon Doherty. That one kind of hit me hard, I'm not going to lie. Heathers, Beverly Hills 90210, Little House on the Prairie, Charmed. Keep in mind, like I said, I'm a product of that. Those were the shows that we watched, you know. So Shannon Doherty, rest in peace. God bless her soul. Dr. Ruth. Okay. And Shelley Duvall from the two things I loved her in, The Shining and Popeye. Like, I watched, again, this was the 80s and the 70s, y'all. I watched Popeye so many times because he used to come on KTLA Family Film Festival a lot when I was a kid. And that's what I watched. So her and Robin Williams, Popeye, like, that was the, like, that, again, I had a very sheltered life. Okay. So again, life is short. You don't know when your time is going to pass. I'm at a point where I'm just like, I will be damned if I just continue to not be fully expressed. Like, I'll be damned if I don't live, or even attempt to live a version of life that feels holistically well, that feels abundant, that feels beautiful, that feels loving and safe when you have dealt with a lot of turmoil when you were a child. It's so hard for some of us to like shake that off, because you just in your mind, you're conditioned without even really thinking about it or even knowing, like you're conditioned in your mind to just be like, this is it. This is it. This is my life, and this is how it's always going to be. And for Black women, like us being the good Christian girls, I'm saying that in air quotes, the good Christian girls, we are kind of like gaslit to be, I feel like I was gaslit a lot. We're kind of like gaslit into just believing this is the only way that I can live my life. And I don't have my permission to do it any other way. Like, whatever it is that is this for you, that's it. And I'm here to tell you, girl, like, that is not the case. Getting back to freedom, I want to say something really important here. For some of us, we have been so locked in to what our parents want us to do, want us to be, whether it's how we communicate, how we respond, how we behave, the things that we do or don't do, the jobs we take, the person we choose to love, the person we choose to marry, the types of exercise you do. For example, yoga, that was forbidden. Sometimes we just get locked into that and we are not living. And what it's going to require, if you have a similar background to me, is having to let your expectations of what you wish your childhood was, or even in the current, let's say you're dealing with your father and you wish that he loved you in a certain way. You wish that he, now that you are healing, and maybe you've brought up to your dad some things that have happened in your life with him and how maybe he treated you, mistreated you. You want him, for example, to not only obviously acknowledge, which sometimes our parents cannot do, they refuse to acknowledge, period. That's gaslighting. But not only do sometimes we want them to acknowledge, but then we want them to basically like take our hand gently, look into our eyes with love and say, yes, I will go on this journey of healing with you so that we can mend this relationship and learn how to love each other, or at least have a healthier respect for each other in relationship or dynamic so that we can move forward. I hate to break it to you this way, but girl, if you're waiting for that, it ain't gonna happen. I'm not saying it will never happen, but if you are holding yourself back, still trying to be this good girl, this good Christian girl, this good Black woman, in the hopes that one day things will change, and then once things change, then you can start living your life. Like, girl, that ain't gonna happen. Don't wait for that. And I know that it's easier said than done. You ain't gonna be free until you free yourself. You will not be free until you free yourself. And freedom ain't easy. We know it wasn't easy for our ancestors, and hell, we still ain't really free. But you know what I'm saying? Like, we know that there was a lot of blood, sweat, tears, pain involved and necessary in that freedom. It didn't just hop into our laps or the laps of our ancestors. It didn't just magically one day we were free. People died for that freedom. People sacrificed their all for that freedom. You know, and I'm not saying you need to die, obviously, or sacrifice, please. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is there's likely going to be some hard truths in this freedom that you need to come to terms with. There's likely going to be some pain that you will experience when it comes to reclaiming or claiming your freedom and living the life that you deserve. Because, and you won't be able to fully live that life until you take care of these toxic situations that you are still like commingled and what was the word? Entangled with currently. And so if you're wondering why, you've done some of the work, but things are not really changing, I feel like in some cases, at least like in my case, there were still some things that I had not really come to terms with or addressed when it came to, like, for example, my relationship with my parent. And it's something that I'm still coming to terms with because it's kind of fresh for me. We've had some communications on some things, but for me, the relationship just felt, amongst other things, like as of in the last few years, it just felt like, for me, my side, it felt kind of like forced and fake to some degree. It just felt forced and fake because I wasn't saying the things that I wanted and needed to say. Really, out of fear. Fear of ultimately, I guess, fear that this person will no longer maybe love me, but that doesn't quite resonate with me. That's why I paused. Because I swear to you, I've been trying to figure out like what the fear has been in me, for example, communicating certain things or setting boundaries or whatever. And I guess ultimately at the root, it's that fear of rejection or fear of not being loved. But I am not sure if that's 100% correct. I'm still trying to figure it out, but I'll tell you, as I continue, I'm not allowing the not knowing to hold me back. I'm not saying to myself, well, until I can figure out really what's at the root 100 million %, I'm just gonna stop here on this journey and I'm gonna take all the time that I need just to figure out what the root is. Because I don't feel like that's necessarily a necessity for me at this point, because we're talking about something that has been decades of my life feeling that something is just not right. Something's just not right. And by me not saying what needed to be said for me, it affected every other area of my life, including being afraid to speak to people that I assumed or deemed to be an authority of me, just having this fear from my landlord to, I don't know, maybe a police officer, anyone that was like in a place of authority. It would just be really hard for me to talk to them. I would just have this fear of making my needs known, saying what I needed to say. With other people, I didn't have that problem. So it's just very interesting how that all works. But you don't need to know that the root is fucked up. Like I said, language, you don't need to know that the root is fucked up to start addressing it. Or you don't need to know the how of it. If you see the root is messed up, you know it's time to get to work in repairing this root, this issue, this damage, right? And yes, I feel like, and talk to a therapist about this, obviously, because every case is different. I feel like it could be helpful to know like what's going on at the root, obviously, because it'll help you in your healing to figure out, okay, these steps might be helpful because this is what the roots are saying. But don't allow that to stop you from addressing that there is work to be done, healing that needs to take place, freedom that needs to be had, things that might need to be expressed, even if it's just you in a journal for starters, or with a therapist for starters, as you work towards that freedom that you deserve and that life that you deserve, that healing that you deserve, that blooming that you deserve. So where I stand with my parent is weird. I really honestly don't know. But I can tell you that there hasn't really been much conversation. I never had the audacity or the courage to express myself like fully until just the last few years. And so some things had happened. And so I think it was last year when I finally sent this text message to her. And I said, I just laid it pretty much all on the table, how it was abusive and toxic and harmful, and how I am allowed to have boundaries and, you know, da 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 da. And the energy that it was met with was, you know, I'm sorry that I did that, but you have to understand my life was hard too, and I didn't have any help and yada yada yada. I did mention something about, you know, maybe therapy, maybe us going to therapy or something like that, but it was not really addressed. And so I just kind of like moved on. And we have texted and called, you know, but for the last year, I just have been feeling some kind of way. I just finally was just like, I can't keep doing this double dutch because it's just not healthy for me. I can't pretend that I don't have these feelings of rage, anger, pain, hate. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can't just keep continue acting like that. When I was younger, those emotions were stuffed down. That's definitely not freedom. We hold stuff in that can make us sick. It's just like this toxic energy or these toxic thoughts, or I don't know, but it's just like, and you can't express it. You can't release it. It just builds up inside of you. Some of us, this has been going on for years or even decades. Imagine just holding on to that with the cells of your body. Your body is supposed to be releasing waste and toxic waste and things that are harmful, and you're shedding and the skin cells, and you're, I think they say the body completely repletes itself every 7 years or something like that. Like, just imagine that your body is not even able to 100% fully be effective because of the stuff that we're still holding on to week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade. You follow? So, yeah. So, in my mind, I was just like, I can't, and I don't want to do, like, I can't do this anymore. This no longer is that now you're brushing up against this new person that I am becoming, this new person that I want to be, but she cannot come forward until these things are addressed in some capacity, one way or another, like either just with me having my own internal boundaries, or if I'm trying to heal a relationship, like whatever the case may be. And so I just stopped kind of like communicating. And very recently, things kind of came to a head. And I said in one of the messages, like, I forget exactly what I said, to be honest, but I know at one point I said, you know, I even mentioned something about going to therapy because we don't have a healthy communication style. And instead of saying, you know, the things that she said, plus, okay, let's talk about therapy, she said, I don't remember you mentioning therapy. And that would have been fine if she also would have followed it up with, but I'm open to it. Let's talk about that. That didn't happen. So once that happened, I had a decision to make. The decision I had to make was either fall back into my old self and just kind of like say, okay, this is how she is. And again, or knowing that she herself, like, I don't feel like any Black woman makes out alive unscathed living in this country, okay? And dealing with the things that just historically Black women have had to deal with, and the cycles that just continue to cycle. You know what I'm saying? So I know she's got stuff that I'm sure she's gone through a lot of stuff. There's no way that she hasn't. I know that she has 100%. I'd bet my life on that. So on one hand, I could have said, okay, well, she is damaged, or she's not in a place where she even wants to address things or make things, like, just see if we can have a better relationship. She's just okay with how things are going. So you need to be the good daughter and just fall back in line, act like things are normal, continue to be obedient, don't disappoint her. That's what a good daughter is supposed to do. Because I remember actually one time she told me in one of those messages, like, I would never do this to my mother. Like, once I kind of started like standing up for myself, She was like, I would never do this. I would never treat my mother this way. So I could either fall back in line after this last message, which was probably like a month ago, maybe 3 weeks ago. I'm not sure. Sometime in June. Or option two is you can choose right now at this point to free yourself. Which one you gonna do? And just be okay with the incoming guilt that you are going to feel. Because again, keep in mind, freedom, what they say, freedom ain't free. Freedom ain't always free. Something, there are going to be some casualties. Sacrifices will be made.
One of the best vacations I've taken was when I went to Cancun because the beach was a whole vibe, but also more importantly, the way my skin glowed, even after I returned home, it was everything. How amazing would it be to have that feeling and that glow year-round? You can with Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil, which smells like summer all bottled up with its all-natural uplifting notes of mango, lime, cypress, mandarin, and grapefruit. I kid you not. So a few weeks ago, I had an acupuncture appointment, and the acupuncturist stopped me and said, "What are you wearing? Because it smells so good." And I told him that it was Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil. Y'all, my skin feels so soft, and I feel honestly just so rich and fancy every single time that I use it after I shower. And because the ingredients are clean, I know that it will always be a staple in my beauty rotation. You better stop playing and come get this summer glow. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code SELFCARE at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OseaMalibu.com and use code SELFCARE for 10% off. So I usually keep my makeup pretty simple because a fresh face just makes me feel my best, but I gotta have a few things to accomplish that. I gotta have a clean brow, a little powder, a little lip gloss, and a lot of mascara. So perhaps you're like me, or maybe you love full glam, but no matter your preference, you've likely seen those turquoise tubes of mascara all over social media, right? That is Thrive Cosmetics Liquid Lash Extensions Mascara, and I absolutely love it. So far, I've been using it for about a month or two, and here's what has made me a fan. This formula does not cause my sensitive eyes to itch, and that is a huge plus. Also, I don't get that flaking or that smudging that I usually get with other mascaras. Plus, it's made with lash-loving ingredients like their orchid stem cell complex, and that promotes longer, healthier-looking lashes. Applying it is super easy, but surprisingly, removing it is super easy too. You just rinse off the mascara with warm water and gently wipe it with a washcloth. So, refresh your everyday look with Thrive Cosmetics Beauty That Gives Back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 10% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/self-care. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CauseMetics.com/self-care for 10% off your first order.
One of those things is these feelings of guilt. Not everybody's going to feel that way. Keep in mind again that everybody's different. Everybody's different. So your reaction's gonna possibly be different than what my reaction is or was. For me, guilt and like shaming, what well, that was like a huge thing in my household. Huge. I remember one time I had gotten in trouble because your girl was on some BS sometimes. But I was just operating from a very hurt. I was a very hurt and troubled little girl. So I had gotten in trouble for something at school. I do not even remember what it was. I got in trouble lots of times. And it must have been bad because speaking of like gaming, shaming, like guilting things like that. I remember she called probably everybody in, like maybe my aunt, and was like on the phone telling them what I did. And I'm having to talk to them, just all this stuff. And I'm okay with the whole thought, the whole concept of village and community when it's in a loving type of village or community. And there's nothing wrong with holding someone's feet to the fire, but there is a way to do that that doesn't instill a huge amount of shame into a growing person, a little child, a little girl who might have been 8 years old, 9 years old, 10 years old, I'm not sure, 11. There's a difference. Because that shame became who I was. I was the embodiment of the personification. I was shame personified. You know how when you feel guilty about doing something, you feel that guilt, you make amends, and then you can move on. It's okay to feel guilt about things. If you, for example, you've done someone wrong, you know what I mean? Or you've harmed someone, or you did something that you weren't supposed to do. Like you get caught with your hand in a cookie jar, of course, you know, feeling guilt, I think that's okay. I don't think that prolonged periods of shame is healthy, and I don't think it's right, and I don't think it's okay. Because shame becomes, from what I learned, like you become shame, like you are shame. I don't think that's healthy. I that's just my opinion. So anyway, I had that decision to make right then and there. Either I'm going to respond back and just smooth things over and just keep moving forward and just continue to just not have things addressed because that's just not how we do things in our family. And we just keep trudging on. And that will just be my life forever or until whatever. Or I'm going to have to free myself from this insanity and move forward. And so when she sent me that long text message back, I chose to just not reply back with a long, you know, whatever. I just said, okay, comma, I understand. That was it. So, because I had said what I said and I had included the whole therapy thing, there was no response to that other than I don't remember, like, you didn't tell me about therapy, you know? And then her saying whatever she had to say. So it was just like this back and forth thing. And at that point, since in my spirit, I just kind of realized like this is not going to become healthy for me. It's not going to become the type of loving relationship that I've always wanted since I was like a little kid. Like it's, you're not going to get that, Brie. You're not going to get that. It's just not possible. At least maybe things will change in the future. I really don't know, but I'm going forward with it's just not possible. So I had to decide mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually to let it go. And that's what I've done. I said, okay, I understand. That was it. Does this mean that I won't talk to my mom? No, it doesn't mean that. If she called me, you know, and she needed help with something, I would, of course, do what I could to help. Absolutely. I don't hate my mother. But as far as putting my life on hold, not being who I want to be, centering her versus centering myself, my safety, my sanity, my health, my well-being, my bloom, like that's, I'm not doing that for anybody anymore, ever again. Because I've lived my entire life struggling. And I think that's a lot of times, sometimes we get sick. Sometimes I feel like, or even anxious, depressed, whatever, because we just have this internal struggle within us. And we really don't, we don't know how to make, how to like either release it or make space for it, if that makes any sense. We just continue to have these internal battles with whatever. In my case, it's just like the my entire family dynamic was toxic. And that's what it was. And so I struggled with that for decades. And as you know, I experienced battled depression, anxiety, fear, lack, poverty thinking, poverty mindset, self-hate, loathing, shame, like any pretty much anything that you can think of, I have like, you know what I mean? I'm your girl. It's me. So I don't want to live my life anymore. And I won't. Not for anybody. I will not for anybody. I've mentioned before that I had some of the worst relationships in my life, and I know that's because I was not operating from a place of being whole, healed, loving Brie, self-loving Brie. So I just mimicked the patterns that I learned in my early relationships, right? Just get along, try to make it work, you know, try to put someone else's happiness before your own, even though they may not be the right fit for you or the right person for you, or they may not even be a safe person for you, either spiritually, whoops, physically, you know, mentally, whatever. Like, it's just wild. It's wild what we do as women, as Black women, because we were conditioned to believe that this is what makes us good. This is what we're supposed to do. This is what we are supposed to accept. This is what our lives, we can live our lives, but first we have to make sure that all these people or things are prioritized. And then if there's anything left over for us, then we can live our hashtag best and blessed life. If that sounds like you, I just want to encourage you to really think about what freedom means to you. And then also think through what things might be between you and that version of freedom that you know you deserve. Could be a variety of things. In my case, though, it really came down to just unhealed parts of myself that enabled me to continue to be this or try to be this doting child. My parent wouldn't say that I was doting, especially not in the last decade. And it's not even, honestly, it's not even my job to worry about what she thinks, to be quite honest with you, but I'm pretty sure she doesn't think that I was doting. But I would say to that, it's because she really doesn't know me. She doesn't know me. She may know the old Bree. She doesn't know me. She doesn't know this version of Bree. And that's what happens. As we move forward in our journeys, people are just not, they're not really gonna know you. The real you, because you're changing, you're evolving, you are freeing yourself. You are going to change. You are going to be different. You are going to be brand new. You're going to start having new thoughts. You're going to start having new awareness. You're going to start just having these new ideas, these new visions for your life. You're going to just have new desires and wants. Like everything starts to change. You're like brand new. You're like things just start to change. I know for me, one of the biggest benefits I've seen, and there have been many, but one of the biggest benefits that I've had in this whole like healing and blooming journey and moving towards a more free version of myself is the way that my thought process is now when I have an issue with my daughter. I'm not saying that I handle it perfectly or really good every single time because I don't. I'm human. I make mistakes. When I do make mistakes, you better damn sure believe I go back and I apologize. I tell my daughter that I love her. Like the things that I didn't get to experience in my childhood, like I'm very aware of that. And awareness is a good thing as long as you're using it to move you forward in a direction that's healthy for you, you know, not in a way that's like you have this awareness and now you're just like beating yourself up on everything and belittling yourself and you know that kind of awareness like that those things that you're saying if they're like that like you're belittling yourself mocking yourself talking bad about yourself those are not your words those are somebody else's words right that's not you talking to yourself like that there's no way in hell that is not you sis please know that okay but I make amends I go back and apologize. Recently, there was something that came up, and this is kind of embarrassing for me, but I'll share because, again, I'm human and I make mistakes. I was taking her to work. What did she do? I can't think of what it was, but it was something where she was in the wrong. I don't know what it was, but what I chose to do was, as I'm driving her to work, I'm really just berating her basically and asking her, like, oh, why did you do this? And you need to do that. And because whatever she had done, it wasn't right, but it wasn't the time or the place is the point. Me doing this and me really, I was ripping into her a little bit. And the reason that I know this is because I had recorded a voice memo right before she got in the car because I had to get out in the moment. Like, whatever she had done really irritated my soul. And so, what I was trying to do was just get it out really quickly so that I could move, not necessarily move on, but just like not hit her with the brunt of whatever it is that she had done that was wrong. Because again, I'm trying to be a cycle breaker. So I wanted to release that initial flurry of irritation. And so when she got in the, so I hit stop, or so I thought, took her to work. I'm just berating her, or whatever. And I drop her off. When I go to pick up my phone, actually, I had pressed stop, but what I didn't know is that I had hit record again. And so I had recorded that entire car ride. When I listened back to what I, like my tone of how I was speaking to her, I was humbled. I was mortified because it was reminiscent of how I was talked to as a child. And even though it wasn't anywhere near how I was talked to, but it was still enough to where you would be, it would be harmful to someone. I was devastated when I heard that message. I promise you, I was devastated. I even called my friend up and I was crying. And I talked to her about it and just had to work through that whole thing. And when I picked my daughter up, I asked her, can we talk for a few minutes? And I just laid it all out there. I said, even though, I still believe in what I was saying, the way that I said it to you was not okay. And this is why. And we spent maybe like 15, 20 minutes, like just in the car talking about it. And I apologized. Because that's what you do. But you not only apologize, kind of like going back to the whole my mother thing with us trying to go to therapy, you not only apologize, but you actively make sure that the things that you do are not harmful again. Like you put some action into that apology. And that's what I did. And that's what I'm doing. So I have to be, and I am very mindful of how. Like not only how I'm speaking, but when I'm approaching something, because it's not always a good time to approach something with or talk, bring up something with someone. You know what I mean? Like on the way to work, really, Brie? Like that was a bad call, just as it is. Why would I put that extra stress on her as I'm taking her to work? So, being a cycle breaker is not easy. You're gonna mess up. And you might mess up a lot. I make a lot of mistakes. I do. I make a lot of mistakes. But I'm learning. I'm learning to be a better person, not only for myself, but for my daughter. I'm learning to break cycles. I don't want to leave a legacy of pain. I don't want to leave a legacy of doubt. I don't want to leave a legacy of shame. I don't want to leave a legacy of guilt. I never want my daughter to feel the things that I felt. I never want my daughter to feel like, speaking of freedom, that she can't be her own person. Speaking of, like, I literally just had this conversation with her maybe like a few days ago. I was watching that show, 90 Day Fiance The Other Way. I don't know if that's even still on, but I'm watching like season two right now. And they have this white and Mexican couple on there. They're guys, they're gay, obviously. And I was just, and I know reality is scripted. Da, da, da. I know it's not all real. I get that, but still, I like the show. And it was breaking my heart. That in one scene, I think the guy's name is Armando. He was telling his family that, he had already told them that he was gay, but he was reminding them of that and that he was going to move with, I forget the guy's name. Let's call him Steve. He's going to be moving. I think his name is Steve, as a matter of fact, but he's going to be moving with Steve. It was a hard thing for him to do. And I'm sitting up here like he's crying. I'm crying. Like it was just a really emotional thing. Like I feel for other people. I really, really do. And so I pause the TV right then and there and I call my daughter downstairs. I know my daughter is sick of me. Like I'm always like telling her, Don't be afraid to, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just want her to know that I can be a safe space for her no matter what. And so I told her this before, but I told her again because it was at the top of my mind. Like, if you ever have something to tell me, I don't ever want you to be afraid to tell me. I'm still gonna love you. I'm still gonna accept you. I'm still like, I don't care what it is. Like, don't be afraid to tell me. Not saying that I'm always going to be happy. Like if she calls me up and she's like, yeah, so I robbed the bank today. Like, like let's be real, obviously, you know, but tell me, I will never say, you know, like you're dead to me. I just own you, like whatever. Like, you know what I'm saying? That isn't the vibe that I had when I was growing up. So I want to make sure that my daughter knows that no matter what, I love her 1,000,000% and I will always love her a kajillion million billion percent, period. So, yeah, I do make mistakes, but I am really trying my hardest when I think about freedom. It is not just about me, it's also freedom to love my daughter more, freedom to accept my daughter for whoever she wants to be or become, freedom to just to not hold on so tightly to these ideals and notions that we've been conditioned to believe just as fact without ever questioning them. There's just so much that comes with freedom. But you really will not be truly free until you do whatever it is you need to do to lay claim to that freedom. So in my case, it's boundaries, it's letting go, it's releasing these old ideals or ideas that I've had or used to have that I'm gonna one day have just this family that I am, that I, you know, that loves me one like with just this uninhibited love, and we're just this loving family, and you know, we say I love you all the time, and we mean it, and we support each other, and we like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had to let that go. And I'm still kind of like in the grieving process of that. And you will have some time. You will have some times, excuse me, where you will need or want to grieve whatever it is that you're releasing or letting go of or changing. So I ask you this, like something that I'm hoping you've been thinking about as you've listened to this podcast, like, what does freedom mean for you? What does it look like? How would you express it? Right? What is freedom? Who are you when you are being your true free self? What is life like for you as your true free self? And also, what do you need to let go of? Where do you need to go, either spiritually, physically, mentally? Like, how do you get to your personal freedom? How do you get to your personal freedom? What do you need to release? What needs to be moved? What needs to be let go? What needs to be questioned? What needs to be addressed to get that freedom? And who do you need to become to even get that freedom? Like, who do you need to become to be able to step into saying, this is what I deserve, and this is what I believe in, and this is what I'm going to do no matter what? No matter who's not on board, I have to be okay with this because this is what I want. This is what I need. This is what I deserve. So, yeah, the freedom is there, but are you willing to move towards that freedom? And I implore you to, after you listen to this episode, like if this is really resonating with you, like, and I do this too. It's so easy for things to kind of like go in one ear and out the other, and you just move on. I want to encourage you not to do that. Like, if, like, right now, after you listen to this episode, once this is done, I want you to hop onto your email and send an email to your therapist and say, hey, can I have a strategy session or with your coach or even with me if you need some self-care coaching. You can shoot me an email and we can talk and see if we can get you set up with a few sessions, right? But send that email, make that call, send that text to your therapist or whoever and say, hey, I've been doing some thinking. These are the things that I want for my life. I want to move forward. I just need some help with the next steps because I need someone to support me as I do this because sometimes we need support. It can be harder to do things alone. It's harder to move forward in that freedom if you don't feel like someone has your back as you're making these moves, someone that you trust, someone that cares about you, someone that isn't trying to make you be something else to that would make them feel better for one reason or another, right? Someone that isn't intimidated by you wanting to be more, right? Someone that doesn't want to keep you stuck in this very limited and narrow, like this is how I see this person and they can never change. Or if they do, it feels like a threat to me because I have so much unhealed stuff going on. You follow? So make sure you send that message. Or if at minimum, if you don't feel like you need that kind of support, at minimum, do some journaling. Write it out. Write your vision for your life out. Who do you want to become? What does freedom look like for you? What does freedom feel like for you? When I think about freedom, these people are in my life. When I think about freedom, these people really aren't support. They don't support me the way that I deserve. They don't help me to feel loving towards myself. You know what I mean? And that needs to be addressed. These are the conversations I need to have. This is, you know what I'm saying? Like, figure that kind of stuff out. Because what you don't want is to not take action and you look up and now it's 5 years later. At some point, the work needs to be done. The work will need to be worked. You will not have that complete bloom without doing the work involved. That's like thinking a farmer is going to have this magical harvest of flowers without actually doing the labor, the work, getting his hands dirty or her hands dirty, right? That's just not going to happen. So there's work to be done. So I'm going to go ahead and wrap this up, this episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Let me know in the comments on Spotify, if you're listening there, what you thought about today's episode. Again, if you would like support for a few sessions, you can email me at connect@browngirlselfcare.com. Again, that's connect@browngirlselfcare.com. We can talk about that. That is it for this week's episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Girl, get your bloom on. And I'm supporting you here. I'm cheering you on like every step of the way. You may not hear me or see me all the time, but I'm just rooting for all of us to live in this life, this full, abundant life that we deserve. And I will see you on the next episode of the Brown Girl Self-Care Podcast. Have a blessed week.